The opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gal Media station.
Well, Fred's headphones are broken, so it's just me today, apparently. It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And here we go.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
You know, I blew that intro.
Did better than Barry did when he did it.
Man, I should have just said, hey, well, peace
out. No, that's not this show.
Oh.
Okay, Aaron, could you just make sure that my headphones are on before you start the show? It's a very simple thing. You know, that's all.
You've done it before without your headphones on, though.
No, but I can't hear what's going on without my headphones.
But sometimes you haven't plugged in, you just haven't put them on yet.
Well, no, they weren't plugged in.
I couldn't see that.
Because we got in here late, and I'm trying to get set up, and that's why I missed the open. So I'd like to take all the blame for that. But
do we need to start the whole thing from the scratch?
No, we don't need to start it from scratch. I'll just tell people, welcome to the greatest show in the history of the known universe, with me, Fred Fowler, the Falcon, A.J. Hoffman, the role model, Aaron Rabold. He's still Voldemort, but we'll take some points off of that. If you want to get in today, 713-780-ESPN's your number, 713-780-3776. You can also get us on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz. Click like. You are good to go. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at A.J. is the real, at Aaron is blitzed. At Degenerates975. You can also text the show. You know the number for that. And if you so wish, you can watch us on the Twitch channel. Just go to ESPN975.com. Click on the... You'll see us on there. Just click on Twitch. Boom. You can chat on there if you like. See, now I don't even know... I don't even know how to start the show now because I feel like it's a failure at the beginning.
Yeah, it's my bad.
No, it's not your bad. I think we know squarely who to put this one on.
Oh yeah, Aaron. It's on Aaron.
Yeah, but that's all right. We'll
Who's
rally
with Aaron. Who is that guy?
I don't know.
It's one of our interns. He's been learning the board. He asked if he could just sit here and watch. I said, yeah, as long as he shuts up and sits in the corner.
Do we have an intern to answer phones?
Yes.
Okay.
Good, because that would be nice.
Oh boy.
So. Yeah, and here we go with the Tuesday text. You don't have a clock in there, Fred? Show starts at 4. Aaron is a producer, not a babysitter.
Listen,
genius. Sometimes the show starts at 4. Sometimes it starts at 4:01. A lot of it depends on when the show before us ends. So it's never right at 4 o'clock. So suck it. I'm not taking any of your nonsense today, people. Just telling you.
Okay.
Not in the mood for it. Don't really care what you think. So, yeah, if you knew how things worked, then maybe you wouldn't send stupid texts. I may not even do the text today.
Okay.
I don't feel like dealing with stupidity. I've been watching it on Twitter now for 2 days, and I've had it. But what else is going on?
I didn't watch any of the poker last night, but I saw that it went down to 3.
Yes.
And I saw that the second and third chip stacks were the ones that went out.
Yeah, well, first off, I was really glad that Moss clown went out.
Did he go with the Matt Dean special?
I don't remember exactly what he had when he went out.
I think he went out with Ace 10. Ace 10 the nuts.
Well, he was getting really short by that point. I really feel bad for the guy who finished fourth, although he didn't feel bad. That he was hard to root against, man. He survived the shootings in Vegas. You know, like everybody in the poker world loves him. And he was up to 170-something million chips at one point. And, you know...
$3 million.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I would have too hard for the guy.
No, but I mean, when you're second in chips and there's that big of a gap,
yeah,
a fourth is a disappointing finish.
Did you watch it? Did he blow it?
Was he
irresponsible with his stack?
I think he made one mistake early on, and going against the big stack without the nuts is really not a good idea at that part of the tournament until you get rid of some more people. But it was kind of like last year, the kid from Houston who had the huge stack where he'd get two pair and run into a set. And I mean, it's just, you know, it just basically kept running into hands that, you know, unfortunate hands. And, you know, and then once he got down around 60 or 70, you could just kind of tell by the look on his face, it was, know, it was going to be over.
Yeah.
But I think we have the three best players left.
Okay. I like this Italian guy, I'm telling you.
Yeah, he's terrific. And the other kid, the one I was talking about yesterday, that if he got a chip stack would be really dangerous, now has a chip stack.
Well, and, I mean, it's all relative to
he's killing it. But with 100 million chips, you know, if you can get in against him and double up, then you make it a tournament.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure at this point, these guys have made enough money. I don't anticipate them just playing tight to finish second. I think they'll both probably try to go for it and get some chips. And they're both those kind of players. And so I'm really excited about it. I loved watching it last night. I thought we saw some terrific poker, which no shock. It's funny, though. I was watching today. I was messing around. I was watching a Heartland Poker Tour final tournament.
Oh, gee, you're watching like a minor league poker now.
Exactly. You look at the skill level difference between that and what we're seeing right now, and it's not even close. But it's going to be hard. I mean, I think the German dude has got this thing completely under control right now. But all it's going to take is an aces versus king scenario or something. And if you can get over 200 million and knock him down to about 280, at least then you got a shot. But and the two guys that made it with him are, I think they were the best players at the final table. So it'll be interesting to see what happens. I'll be watching it tonight instead of the Astros. So 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776.
Did you watch the Astros last night?
I was watching the poker. I flipped over and saw Framber on the mound. Said that's it.
That's enough for you.
Yeah,
yeah.
I just have no interest in watching that team when he's on the mound.
I mean, I don't really have much interest in seeing what they do tonight.
Yeah, I don't either.
I mean, go again. I guess we're beating a dead horse here, but go get a starting pitcher. All right.
The one thing they've done wrong. I mean, they just have not developed pitchers. They don't have anybody in that system that they've brought up other than James.
Yeah.
That you say, wow, this guy could at least.
I mean, do you really say wow about him, though?
I mean, last year he was really good, and obviously he's been hurt and hasn't been able to start this year. I at least think, you know, he might be functional. These other guys aren't. I mean, Framber and all, you know, Martin had one good start and then died, and they really don't. They have not developed good pitching prospects yet.
Well, the Angels didn't exactly throw out an ace last night in Griffin Canning. And I watched the beginning of the Astros game, and the first two batters, Springer and Altuve, retires them on one pitch each. So there's two outs in the top of the first, and the guy's thrown two pitches. He then proceeds to walk the next four guys, and he ends up walking two more and giving up two hits. So his pitching line was 1 1/3 inning pitched, 6 walks, 2 hits, 3 earned runs. And that's the start the Astros got, and they still lost.
Yeah. They're not in a good spot right now with that pitching staff. And
I mean, you're giving up 9 runs to the Angels
without Mike Trout.
Yeah, that's bad. That's rough, man.
And for some reason, Pujols flashes back to old school Albert every time.
Oh, he's got ownership in the Astros, I believe. But yeah, that's a disappointing showing last night. And I don't have high hopes for what's going on there tonight.
Yeah, I don't either. I mean, another guy they just brought up, which, still don't know why we've come up with this term opener.
Yeah, it's just, well, I mean, because I guess Framber pitches better in relief. So if he doesn't pitch the very first inning,
yeah,
he'd be better.
Yeah, I don't get it. Tonight, I get, okay, we're going to have to use the whole bullpen, but why don't you go three innings?
Well, here's what ended up happening instead. Framber comes into the game, and the first batter he faces is now the cleanup hitter. So it's not ideal either. Yeah, I think it's a weird concept. I know a lot of teams have gone to it. The Rays were kind of the innovators of it. But I think the Rays did that because they didn't have enough quality starting pitching.
Yeah. No, neither did the Astros. But
right.
I still don't understand the idea of, well, we'll have a guy come pitch one inning and then we'll pitch somebody else four or five. I mean, if he's pitching well for that one inning, why not two?
That's what I'm saying. So he's your opener yesterday. He has a pretty solid first inning. No hits, no walks, gets a strikeout. Well, better put in Framber now. I mean, I'd at least, even if he's the opener, can an opener go two innings?
I don't know. Apparently, that's not what the rules are. No. If that's why you call it an opener instead of, oh, we're going to do a bullpen game.
Yeah. And I'm telling you, these guys are going to start getting pissed off when it comes to paychecks because they're not going to be getting wins and things like that. There's going to be middle relievers getting wins now instead of. Starting pitchers aren't going to like
it. But the truth is, if you're a starting pitcher who's not starting the game, you probably suck.
That's true.
And it's not going to matter. You're not going to get paid, Framber. So I think it's an odd concept. I'm not really a fan of it. But, you know, I mean, AJ Hinch has done okay.
I think I'm old school. I don't like constant shifts. I don't like openers for pitchers. I'm just an old school guy.
Well, I don't think there's anything wrong with that in baseball.
Nah, probably not.
But, yeah, looking at the chip counts. So, Livingston has 120 million. Ensign has 326.
Oof.
And Sammartino has 67. But if Livingston could double up against Ensign, then he's ahead of him.
Yeah.
He's got enough chips to do that. So, and that's the thing. The other thing last night, man, Ensign played such a perfect big stack. I mean, just ran that thing up exactly the way you're supposed to do when you're the chip leader, and you know didn't get too deep unless he was in really good shape. I thought all three of them played very, very well, and really even the dude I hated played. I thought he played terrific poker.
He's just a douchebag.
He's just so douchey that you can't root for him.
Did he continue asking?
Yeah, he did, and not every time. I think he did mention that Twitter was destroying him.
And, oh, he's one of the guys with Twitter?
I don't know. I think people told him that Twitter was destroying him. But Norman Chad was destroying him, too.
Yeah.
And so was the lady that was doing it with him, who I think he's done a great job. That's another thing, I think, from a commentary standpoint. Really good back and forth between Norman and her. And Lon's just a pro. I mean, they're a joy to listen to because it can get boring if you're not that into it. And they've kept it really entertaining. So,
hey, I've got a list of 15 players who are non-rental players. The top 15 trade chips that would be worthy of,
okay,
you know, someone giving up big stuff for, big prospects for. And I want to know how many of these 15 interest you if you are the Houston Astros.
All right. We're going to take a quick break. We'll do that when we come back. It is The Blitz on ESPN
97.5. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. All right, we'll get to that list next segment. And
yeah, I forgot.
I also, Twitch comments greater than text line so far today, so I want to get to their comments. But right all now, right. We have a guest. And
what is your title here now?
Yeah.
I have my own title.
Okay, because Peter is the guy who hired me to come to Houston.
Yeah, yes. Peter Remington was our GM.
You cost me a lot of money, if I remember.
I didn't cost you
a lot
of money.
Yes, you did.
I asked you for a livable wage, and you said, no.
$4 an hour.
Yeah, no, we can't. You're not that good, is what he said. He's like, You might be all right, but you ain't that good.
Well, you're making me eat my words.
Yeah, I've finally proved you wrong, I guess. Yes. But what do you do here for Gal Media?
Well, I actually have a company called Strategic Marketing Alliance Company, and my official title there is the Chief Possibility Officer. And I work with Gal Media, which is, of course, ESPN, Culture Map, and everything else we have here, Sports Map, Innovation Map. And so I'm hired to combine all those things together, as well as working with City Book Magazine. So we combine the whole media group together to give an advertiser the ultimate advertising experience.
Okay.
That's how about that.
And is it working?
Yes, it is. As a matter of fact, I'm still here.
Yeah, you are. You are. That's good.
A year and a half.
So one of the things that that you do every year, which I think is kind of crazy, but I mean, listen, everybody thinks other.
Everybody has their thing.
Everybody's
right?
got their thing.
Yeah.
Do you care to tell how old you are?
Sure, I'll be 64 this August.
Okay, so you're a little bit younger than Fred. And
you turned 64?
No,
Fred's 66.
Not even close. I am 54 years old. Stop it, you lying son of a bitch.
Well, you have a face for radio. You know that, right?
Well, you're on TV now. I've never heard that, Peter.
Well, I do. So come on.
I've never heard that in all my years of radio since like last Thursday.
Since Fred, like the day one.
You look like someone put the age app on you, like on Peter. Like if we took a picture of Peter and put it the age app on it, you would look like you, Fred. That's you look good for your age.
Shut up.
I don't know what he means.
I don't either.
Because you don't have the app.
I know. Apps are beyond me.
But you did go
to Spain this year.
To Spain.
Yes.
And you go every year, right?
Well, to give or take some family promises and things like that, like weddings or deaths.
What? That takes precedence.
Yeah,
huh?
No, unfortunately. Unfortunately, yes. But yeah, I started in 1991.
Running with the Bulls.
Running with the Bulls. And we just got finished. The run ended on Sunday, the 14th. And I actually got there on the 5th of July when a lot of my friends show up, guys from all over the world that I've known now after running with them for 28, 29 years. And it's a great party.
My assumption is, because that is a big event, that flights, hotels, they jack up the price on everything.
Totally. If you're not prepared for the place, I have a flat there that I stay at every year. And so I keep my clothes there. I mean, I could leave and go right to the Running of the Bulls.
And you didn't want to pay me a livable wage. What? And you've got a flat in Spain.
It's not my flat. It's a flat that I stay at.
Okay, but you leave clothes there.
I leave clothes there
for a year.
Yeah, there's the woman who owns it, Rosario, and Rosario is so simple to please people, right? Every year that I've been to her flat, I've always bring her a gift.
Sexually?
No.
Yeah, never.
Well, anyway, it's Pamplona. Things happen. It's a dark hole.
That's right.
Anyway, no,
that's a mean thing to say about it.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's.
I thought we were going to talk about the running of the Bulls.
Well, that's what we're going to talk about.
Part
first,
about
we want to talk about Rosario.
Rosario is a wonderful, wonderful lady. And anyway, so I stay there. So it doesn't get jacked up on me. I pay $65 a night.
That's a good deal.
It's a very good deal.
And that's sex included, right?
Absolutely, with seven other people. I mean, it's just insane.
Good for you.
They're not
allowing drugs at sex parties anymore.
Why is that?
I don't know. It's a new thing Fred's told us about the last two shows.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
What kind of drugs are you talking about?
I have no idea. Talk about the running of the Bulls.
All right, so penicillin's off.
So you get there, and I mean, is it like, okay, I'm gonna sleep the night, and then I'm gonna wake up, and I'm gonna go run with the Bulls? Is it like, is this
okay? So
tell me how it works. Is it an all day thing, or
it's a total all day thing? But the running of the Bulls happens at 8 o'clock in the morning.
Right? Okay,
so I'm gonna go back to 1991.
One time.
Well, 8 days. We run for eight days.
8 days. Oh, my
eight
God.
Days. But let me go back to 1991, because my first year, I went with my buddy Carl Buttram and a couple other people, Tony Salvador and three other people. And we're standing in front of the Ayuntamiento, which is the town hall, and we're nervous. We're like nervous as hookers in church. I mean, it's just crazy. And so we're speaking English, and this guy says, Americans? I go, yeah. He says, have you ever done this before? He said, no. He says, hi, my name's Ron from Arizona. I said, well, Ron, what do you do? He says, well, here's what happens. At about a minute before 8, well, actually about 5 minutes before 8, they open up the line so you can go to anywhere on the course that you want to start. The course is a half mile long, and he has different starting zones. So I said, okay, then what? He says, well, the rocket's going to go off, and that means they've opened the corrales, and these animals start coming out. The second rocket that goes off means that the last animal has left the corral.
Okay.
All right? So got it. He says, now, what's going to happen? So as soon as you get the first rocket that goes off, what's known as the Los Valientes, the valiant ones. So it's all tongue-in-cheek because they're already running. They'll never see a bull. They'll be so far ahead of the bulls, they'll never see it. So that's just kind of a Spanish joke.
That's just so you can say that you did it.
Yeah, exactly.
But there's no risk of death.
There's no risk. He said the next group of runners will go there, and they'll eventually peel off to the sides and hang out against the walls. But the third group of runners, their eyes will be the size of saucers. They're just running and just grabbing people and throwing them out of the way, and behind them are the bulls. He said, got it. He said, that's the group you run with. He said, okay. So now we're starting at La Curva, which a lot of people call Dead Man's Corner. That's where they used to crash into the wall. So it's Ron, myself, my buddy Carl, and our friend Tony. And so rocket goes off. It's like a toilet flush. All this mass humanity just starts running down. So then the next group of runners, you see them coming. And then the third group of runners, they're coming. And you could see how afraid they are and how energized they are and all these different things. And they're coming down the street, heading towards La Curva. And Carl slaps me on the shoulder and he says, Petey, we got to go. He calls me Pete. He goes, Petey, we got to go. I go, what about Ron? He goes, Ron, we got to go. So we take off, start running up the street. These bulls come around the corner. The first bull is like 2 inches away from my back. I move off to the side. It runs past me. Carl's up there ahead of me. He slaps the bull on the ass with his newspaper.
What?
And that was it.
What? I mean,
you're abusing these bulls?
Yeah, you're hitting the bulls?
With newspapers, absolutely.
I'm so team bull on this thing.
You are,
and
so
not that personal. I like you, but I'd really like to see you get gored.
Well, thank you.
Did anyone die at it this year?
This year, nobody died. Nobody died. Although,
in 8 days?
In 8 days.
Maybe it's not as dangerous as I thought.
This idiot from Seattle, he's a lawyer, wanted to do a selfie with running with the bulls, which is totally taboo. And the guy got gored in the neck.
Oh, nice.
Nice.
All right. Yay. Good job, Bull.
Team Bulls.
Good job, Bull.
But didn't die.
Didn't die. And he's sitting there telling the story like he's a hero.
I
want to go to the hospital and kill him.
I mean, why?
Because you don't do that. You're out there with other runners. You're out there trying to do something. And you have to, A, the bulls are very noble animals. So you don't really attack the bull that way. And all you use, when you get close to a bull.
It's okay to hit him with a newspaper, but not okay to take a selfie with him.
That was day one. What did we know?
Okay.
That's some learning to do.
Okay.
I remember you on day one.
Right.
Okay. You've come a long way, baby.
I was sharp. I knew all the rules.
Yes, you did.
That's right.
And Fred still doesn't know the rules. I mean, come on.
He did hit me with a newspaper on the first day.
That's
true.
He did.
That is true.
I think you hit him with the baseball bat.
Fred is a noble beast, though. That's one thing I've always said about Fred. He's a noble beast.
Very noble. So
just boring instead of goring.
Yeah. And you will continue to do this every year.
I will. You know, funny thing is, you know, I started when I was 35, and I am now, as I've told everybody already, I'll be 64 in August, and the bulls are getting faster. There's no way I've gotten slower.
It's entirely possible.
I've heard of it.
Well, I mean, what happens if you go out there and you're going to run for 8 days?
Yes.
And day one, you twist an ankle.
Okay, so what you do is you stand the bulls. So when you're inside the barricade, anything can happen. So as long as you're inside the barricade, there's places where you can stand and just watch these beautiful animals run by you.
Okay.
Okay, so you still
get no danger of being run over.
Not true. Oh. Not true. I mean, the people are worse than the bulls. And when you're on the sides is where all the humanity is, and they'll push and scratch and punch and all that. But I know doorways that I can stand in and kind of miss all that stuff and just watch the bulls go by if you were to do that. I had a family of four, a husband, a wife, and their two children with me this year. I put them in two doorways, and they had the time of their lives because the bulls were within 5 feet as they ran past, and that was very, very thrilling. 2 years ago, I'm with my beloved Karen, and we're in the same doorway. And
this is your lady friend?
Yes.
Yeah, she doesn't
care about... When I say beloved,
about,
I'm talking about a guy.
I mean, what's going on with... How does Karen feel about Rosario?
I didn't tell her about that part.
Oh, okay.
So anyway, she's standing in the doorway. Bulls run by. It's her first time.
Okay.
And boom, they go...
By the way, all women say it's their first time.
I know that.
Yeah, she's lying.
she has been gored.
She did this at least 15 times in college.
Easily. Yeah, something about a dark hole again.
Freshman year.
Yeah.
All right, let me get my cheeks back down. Anyway, the bull's whole thing runs by us, and she goes, is that it? I said, no, there's two more. And she said, how do you know? I said, I counted. So this fifth bull comes running up pretty fast, goes right by us. The sixth bull had already separated from the pack, and he's kind of like walking up the street. The street is now completely empty. It's Karen and myself in the doorway with five runners trying to coax the bull up the street. No other runners on the street. The bull stops right at our doorway on the opposite side of the street, thank God. It's probably about, I don't know, 20 feet away. But it's window shopping. It's looking to the right. It's looking to the left, looking to the right. And then it's got radar lock on Karen. I said, oh, my God. How am I going to explain this to her mom? Because I'm going to just take her and put her in front of me. You got to protect yourself, right? So anyway, the runners doing their job got the bull up the street and nothing really happened. But it was a very, very intense moment for her and for me. So,
but no death.
No death.
Did you touch one of the bulls at any point with your hand?
When? Over the last 29 years?
No, over the last 8 days.
No.
None got that close?
Not this time, no.
Okay, but in your time, you have touched one.
I may have touched one or two, yes. And that's just for distance, you know, just do a little distance check.
Right, okay.
Because I'm either running or I'm slammed up against the wall from all the other runners or I'm in the fetal position sucking my thumb crying for mom.
Do the bulls ever turn around and come back?
Yes, it's called a suelto.
That seems like that would be the worst thing that could happen.
That is the worst thing because when you have a bull by itself, it's going to start attacking everything and anything around. So,
are these like angry bulls or are they relatively calm bulls?
These are fighting bulls. I mean, these bulls are bred for the bullfight. Okay. And they're angry. Their horns are as sharp as razors and it gets pretty insane.
Boy.
Yeah, well, it's fun.
I'm glad you survived.
Thank you. I'm going to send you some photos for Sports Map.
Yeah, we're going to put an article up on Sports Map. And
don't post the one of Rosario's dark hole.
Well, yeah, we don't do that kind of stuff, but I'm working on another website.
One more website.
Right.
The Goring.
So pornmap.com.
Have you talked to David Gow about that yet?
Yeah, pornmap.com. Yeah, we're on it.
Goring the dark hole.
Yeah, that sounds like something back in the day when you read Hustler, one of those short stories that somebody would say.
Goring the Dark Hole, the Peter Remington story.
Oh, that's nice. Yeah. That's nice. So,
all right, Pete. Anyway, thank you, man. Well, thanks for coming in.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me. It was a lot of fun.
All right. Well, thanks for hiring me, too. That was a good move.
You're welcome.
Good
it was a very, very good move by me.
I think you were smart. Like, right after you hired me, you're like, okay, I'm out of here.
Yeah, exactly. I didn't want to pay the consequences of my hiring decision. But look at you now.
Look at me now.
Look at you now. ZZ Top t-shirt, which is very cool. You have made it. So, and Fred, you've always made it.
No.
Fred used to be homeless.
Yeah, that was right about when you were. No, I think that was before you. Were you there for the furloughs? Was that you?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, yeah, you suck. I really root for the Bulls now.
Geez, that was not my idea.
That's right. You're the guy who didn't pay me for 2 months, which is why I got kicked out of my apartment because I was a vendor and you guys were in bankruptcy.
What do you mean, you guys? It wasn't my company.
It was kind of your company.
That's on you. And
well, you know what? I'm going to go in and talk to Gal right now. I'm going to get furloughed all over again since you know how to do it.
No, I'm fine.
Okay.
So... Good luck next year to the Bulls.
Yeah, thank you.
And we appreciate you coming in.
This has been really fun for me, too. All right, guys. Thanks
so much.
All
right. Thanks, Pete.
All right, quick break. We'll be right back. It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Like this.
I don't need no hope. I don't need no hope. I need
ESPN 97.5. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. For the record, Peter was a really good boss when we were over at the other place. As much as I give him grief for not paying me. But, that wasn't technically his call. It's one of the reasons why I think he wound up leaving, frankly. But that's not for me. I don't 4:37:55. I'm sure people that are into that enjoy it. It's not for me.
Running with the Bulls?
Yeah, I've been run over
by Lamont said they do it in Pearland. Is that true?
No. I hope not.
I mean people are just looking to die.
I mean, I've been run over by a horse and it didn't have horns. So I don't want any part of something that can cut me in half.
Yeah, I'm against,
and
I'm
I kind of like the idea of, but I do like the idea of the Bulls getting a chance to fight back without having to go up against a guy with the swords, since they're bullfighting. So I'm Team Bull, always will be. A couple Astros things, and we'll get to the list. Blake in the Woods, aren't the Astros hurting their bargaining power by showing the rest of the league how desperate they are for a starter? And McSkeezer responded, "What else can they do? It's not like they're out there in the media telling everyone their starters just suck." that's both of those are kind of. I saw a Buster Olney story where he said teams are just jacking the prices way up. They're asking for everything right now, and that's why you're not going to be able to get anything done until you get closer to the deadline. When you know the price comes down a little bit, or it goes up when other players disappear, but it's just not that easy to necessarily go and make a deal if the other team's asking for the moon for guys. But yeah, that I think everybody knows they need one, and some of the other teams I think want another starter. They don't necessarily need them. I think the Astros, it's a need at this point, and it's a pretty serious one.
Yeah.
So you're gonna give me a list of guys that might fill that need?
Yeah. I mean, I guess now we're. I guess we can do it now. We can do it now. All right. Number one on the list, and these are all guys who will not be unrestricted free agents at the end of the year.
Okay, so these are not rentals.
So you tell me if these guys are worth giving up top guys in your farm system. Number one, Trevor Tyler Bauer. One arbitration year left after this year.
Yes.
Worth it?
Worth it. Kyle Tucker, see ya. Forrest Whitley, see ya.
Okay.
Give me Trevor Tyler.
Okay. Marcus Stroman, one arbitration year beyond this year.
I'll take him.
Even for the same guys, Forrest Whitley, Kyle Tucker
at
types?
This stage, if I have that guy for 2 years and can win a World Series in those 2 years, and we've talked about this before, I also want kind of Garrett Cole insurance in case you can't re-sign him. So, yes, Marcus Stroman, yes, check mark.
Noah Syndergaard, 2 years arbitration after this year.
Absolutely. I would actually rather have him than the other two, I think.
I think I would, too.
With the 2 years, and, you know, I think he kind of fits what they look for in terms of stuff. They could work with him, fix that spin rate, learn to cheat. Yeah, that he would be number one on my list.
Number four, Matthew Boyd, 3 arbitration years after this season.
Less interested in him than the other guys. To me, he's a guy that I would trade for if I struck out on all those guys.
American League best strikeout to walk ratio, 6.33 strikeouts per walk.
What I don't like about him is this is the first year that he's been really good.
Yeah.
He's been fairly mediocre. Now, again, he fits what they like, and they'll probably make him better, and you do have the control for a little longer. But, I mean, I'd take him. I'd like it, don't love it.
Now, not all these guys are starting pitchers, so number five on the list is Kirby Yates.
Yeah, no thanks.
One arbitration year left. I mean, he's a stud. I don't know that the Astros need another ninth inning guy. They've already got two guys that are good enough
okay
to do
there.
That.
Yeah.
I mean, if they were to find another long reliever, I think that would be useful. But
well, hopefully one of those long relievers becomes the guys that you've been having to trot out there as starters.
Right. Number six, Clint Frazier, 4 years, including 3 arbitration years after this season. Outfielder for the Yankees. They just don't have room for him.
Yeah. I think they use him to get a pitcher, probably.
I think that's what's most likely to happen. Shane Green, 1 arbitration year.
Yeah.
No?
Yeah.
He's a pitcher.
Don't hate him. I don't hate him, but
I mean, again, is a reliever more important than the starters? I'm going to say no. Well, speaking of, Ken Giles, 1 arbitration year.
Yeah, I don't see that happening.
I don't see that happening either. Another one, Sam Dyson of the Giants. I don't know about him. Whit Merrifield, second base outfielder for the Royals. Can't play first base.
Yeah. I don't really see that as a need. And plus, you're getting Diaz back any day now.
He's supposed to be that guy.
Yeah.
This one I can't imagine they need because they have too many of these guys anyway. Hunter Renfroe, outfielder Padres, 4 years beyond 2019. Slugging 100 points higher than he did last season. I don't know why they'd want to get rid of him.
Yeah, I don't know that why he'd be available, frankly.
Robbie Ray, Diamondbacks, 1 arbitration year left.
Wouldn't hate it.
I wouldn't hate it either. I mean, he's better than the fourth starter on this team now.
Yep.
Which, by the way, so is this guy, Mike Leake. 1 year at $15 million beyond 2019. 4 of that is paid by the Cardinals, and then an $18 million mutual option for 2021.
Why would they be interested in trading him?
I guess because, honestly, I don't know. I mean, I guess Seattle doesn't feel like they're contending when they got him. They thought maybe they had a shot to. Yeah. Now they don't.
Just seems like that's a guy you'd want to keep around.
Solid, experienced innings eater.
Yeah.
The Astros should probably take. He's more expensive than some of these other guys.
But, yeah.
I don't know how to say this name. Roenis Elias, left-handed pitcher from the Mariners. 2 more years. He's our closer, I guess.
Yeah.
Michael Givens, not good from the Orioles.
No. Any Oriole, just say no.
Okay. Good move.
So that's it?
That's it.
I would, if you're talking about I have to give up top prospects to get Noah Syndergaard, I'd do it in a heartbeat. I'd want one of those top four pitchers. You're going to have to compete.
I think he's my favorite too, Syndergaard.
Yeah, especially that extra year. And I think it's so important that you go into next season. And obviously, you're trying to win this year. That helps you do that. But if you go into next season and you can't re-sign Garrett Cole, which there's no guarantee on that. And from what he said, obviously, the Astros are going to get an opportunity. But, you know, I would almost bet that somebody's going to throw way too much money at him. At least you've got a 1-2 punch going into next season. And then we're having the same conversation next year about they need to trade for another pitcher.
Yeah.
Assuming even if they bring Miley back and if McCullers comes back, but it'd be a lot to ask him to pitch a full season coming off of that. So, but it would be that if you go in with that four next year, you're already better off than you are right now.
So too.
So yeah, I would love to see that. And you know, that to me, that would be the best move. But again, if you're the Mets, why? Why?
I mean, unless you just feel like you're just giving up on.
Well, unless you're just going to be
on the next several seasons.
And you want to go cheap and not pay him.
But if you can get top tier prospects, it makes some sense.
Yeah. I suppose. It just. I would think they would try to build around that core that they've got. And, you know, I don't understand trading young pitchers still under control, even in a rebuild.
It's not for me, for sure. But, yeah. If they're that, you know, committed to not being good for the next couple years.
Yeah, if they're willing to sell them off, I'm buying.
And you can get guys that have 4 or 5 more years of control. Makes sense. All right, I got to tell you about Tri-Eagle Energy, and they are giving Houstonians the power to win free electricity for an entire year. They're bringing the energy on Houston Dynamo game days. You sign up for any power to win electricity plan, you'll get 2 Dynamo game tickets and 2 t-shirts, and you'll be automatically enrolled to win free electricity for a year. Each time the Dynamo win a home game, Tri-Eagle's going to draw a lucky fan or customer. They're going to win a free year of electricity. You can enter to win by texting the word power to 77177. Visit TriangleEnergy.com to learn more. That's text the word POWER to 77177 or visit TriangleEnergy.com for details. PUCT license number 10064. Well, deep in the heart of the misty mountains, my heart it roared, a childlike bound in the lowest dungeon on the highest peak. I'll find a way back, I'll find a way to be free. I'm a jailer, prisoner, general to the... This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. Happy Tuesday. Local Music Tuesday. I like that. It's good stuff. Tomorrow we're going to do a little flip-flop so that A.J. can catch his flight.
Yeah, everyone made it Everyone made it seem like I was like being a diva or something. I didn't pick my flight. This is just the flight that I got assigned.
Really? Because they gave us a list of well, and it may be that
it was my booked. Return date. That was the flight that I had to get on, or like my because I'm leaving before you guys,
right?
So I guess maybe I didn't have the same options as you, which is it seems silly, but
yeah, it does kind of seem silly. But we're on the 9:55 flight, the hooker flight, basically, and you're on an earlier flight, so. We'll be on 1 to 4 tomorrow as the practical offshoot of that. I don't think anybody was calling you a diva.
Barry and Joel and Nick were.
Oh, well, that's...
Yeah.
Well, they'll be doing 4 to 7, so they can diva you to death then, which, you know, They better entertain me because I have to be stuck in traffic at 4 o'clock to go home. So,
well, it'll be Barry, or Barry will be off, so it'll be Joel and Nick.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And so, myself.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah, I think Nick's on my flight, too.
Yeah. I mean, trust me, I'd much rather be on you guys' flight and do our regular show, but...
Yeah, but that's all right. This will work. I mean, it's more drinking time for me at the airport, so I'm totally down with it. This was for me, but I'd like to ask you this question, too. If you could be GM of any sports franchise outside of Houston, which team would you take?
I feel like if I was going to be a GM, I'd want to be a baseball GM. But, I mean, so obviously, I mean, I feel like the Yankees job is probably the best job, right?
Yeah.
I'd take that job.
I would think I'd be best at football, but I think I'd have more fun doing hockey. Because challenge of the salary cap, I think it's definitely more difficult than it is in any other sport to have a good team and keep it together. Because it's a hard cap. And if you have a couple of stars, and believe me, I've been paying attention to this all summer because of the Maple Leafs, where they've got two guys that are getting 10 and 11 million. They're about to have a third and the cap's $82 million. And you're going to have, you know, 32, 33 million tied up in three players. So I would love the challenge of trying to figure that out. I would have to trust my scouts on who's who and that kind of thing. But I would think that'd be fun to try to field a competitive team every year. And like the Blackhawks are a great example. They were so good, but they couldn't pay everybody. And so sometimes, and like the trade they made today was to get a little more cap room for you know, the guys they have to sign. And you draft well, and the guys turn out to be superstars, and then you have to pay them $8-9 million a year. And it's kind of like, you know, I wish they had some kind of an exemption for guys like that that you draft. But, you know, then you have to decide which ones to keep. I think that'd be fine.
Yeah.
Somebody said, I'd take Oklahoma City. All those picks and starting over would be a builder's dream.
Yeah, but then you have to live in Oklahoma.
Yeah, there's that.
No thanks.
See, I could live in Toronto. Or Las Vegas. I could take over the Golden Knights. I could live in Las Vegas, too. Or Avalanche.
Yeah.
I'd take any one of those jobs. I don't think I'm up for them, though.
So, maybe the Padres would be a good job.
Yeah, there's really almost no expectations on you, so you can't get fired.
You live in San Diego.
You live in San Diego.
Yeah, that's a pretty good place.
Eh, that's not a bad one. I'd be okay with that.
Yeah. Or Texans head coach job is the best because you can't get fired.
Yeah, and you know you don't have to know anything about the sport.
No. You have to. I mean,
you can be a total a-hole.
Just act a fool, and they'll be like, "Oh man, this guy's serious. We better give him what he wants.
We got to coach better. We got to play better." Next question. Yeah, that's all you got to do. That's what it takes to be the Texans GM. That and these guys can play.
Yeah,
both these quarterbacks can play. People are going to find out. No, they can't. 713-780-ESPN is your number. 713-780-3776. And, yeah, I think that's interesting. Here's another one for you. What's a hidden talent you have that nobody knows about?
I don't know. Yeah. I don't have any hidden talents.
You're a pretty good poker player, but I don't know if that's hidden.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't have any. I don't have any non-hidden talents, really. I'm not a really talented guy.
Yeah, I have zero talent.
Yeah, I mean, I've got more talent than you.
Yeah, well, that's not saying much. Yeah, that's like, you know, comparing two women, and one of them's a two, and one's a four. You know, 4 or 5 says lived in Oklahoma for 28 years. Been down here for 4. Every time I go back to visit, I regret it.
Yeah.
Good luck. I might be up there in a couple months because there's a poker event up there that has one of the senior things that I want to do. So there's a chance I will go. But that would be the only reason for me to ever go to Oklahoma again. Because I've been for football games, and that's about it.
Yeah.
And there's just I have no desire to go back to Oklahoma.
Yeah. It's at the very bottom of our of my favorite states list. I don't know, maybe not very bottom, but it's in the bottom 5.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, definitely.
It's not for me.
Like, I'll take Arkansas over any day of the week.
All right, guys. If you own your home and you want to save some money, grab your smartphone. Our friends over at TGS Insurance are going to save you some big dough on your home policy, and you're never going to have to deal with an agent. Here's how they do it. You send them a text, just the word money. Send the word money to 232323. They're going to ask you for your address. You reply back with that. Boom. Full quote. Great coverage, 15 seconds or less. And this is real, man. The online rating for this company is nearly perfect. The average customer this year, saving over $870 on home insurance. You know you could use $870. And no need to wait for your renewal. They'll come in, take care of all the back end, all the sloppy paperwork. They'll get you your refund. It's simple, guys. You could just sit back and save that money. One more time, text the word money to 232323. Get your home insurance quote. Start saving today.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Dial the phone.
Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net.